On the cover, a trail of gumdrops winds through a forest of giant rainbow lollipops. Mighty Briar and the Electric Kid each appear to be stuck to the lollipops. They look worriedly down the gumdrop trail, which leads to a large hourglass. Inside the hourglass, Lilith is trapped, and she bangs her fists against the walls as grains of sugar slowly fill the hourglass. Wonderworld Comics is proud to present The Heartbreakers, Volume 3, Semi-Sweet Dreams, Issue 2, Sugar and Spite.
We're definitely going to get stuck. We're definitely going to get stuck to every sugary thing.
I'm not touching the lollipops.
Ryan is going to get stuck to the lollipops.
Oh, God.
Steve will get stuck helping Ryan get unstuck.
Yeah, that's usually how that goes.
So we open with Lilith walking into the career fair. It looks like it's early in the day, like people are still arriving. But she is walking in and she looks like herself, but a little dressed, perhaps more professionally than we typically see her. So she's got like just kind of black skirt and like a nice, pretty professional pink button up blouse. And her hair is pulled into this bun where it kind of hides like the blue in her hair. And so we're getting like a nice establishing shot of professional Lilith walking into the career fair. And she is looking around and she's a little wide-eyed, perhaps a little hesitant looking, perhaps a little like excited too on her face. As she's looking around at like just this massive room with all of these booths and different career folks showing off like what jobs they have to offer at their respective companies. And we see the panel kind of, the next panel, we kind of zoom back a bit and we see her, you know, walking on the floor. And then up on this balcony area, we see that there is someone watching her. So we get this shot of this boy watching her. He does look to be about her age. He's a teenager. He's white and very like average height, very average weight, like just very nondescript looking person with curly dishwater blonde hair, just like slightly curly and like these round glasses and like a very academic look. And we just kind of get a shot of him watching her from the balcony for a minute. And then we turn the page. And when we turn the page, we are back where we left off last time. So Steve and Ryan, you are in costume and you have, I believe, just crashed through a window into the other side of the conference center from where you were. Is that how everyone remembers it going down?
That sounds right.
And I think the sprinklers have been going off and they've stopped going off now. And there's kind of some panic in the room. And we actually get a shot. You crashed, Steve, right in front of Lauren. She is looking at you and she looks kind of panicked for a second. And then, like, disconcertingly, she kind of looks anxious one second and then just her face just kind of like relaxes and she seems like totally fine and just kind of curious, like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Is kind of how she's looking at you. And I think she kind of like offers you a hand up.
Thanks. thank you. Citizen?
She kind of like gives you a side smile at that and just is like, yeah, sure, no problem. And kind of turns her attention back to the career fair. Like she seems, yeah, not that invested in like what's going on. And as you look around and Ryan, you're maybe also looking around, you notice that like even though there was just this fairly big commotion, like you're crashing in, there were sprinklers going off. No one seems to be paying you that much attention. Like maybe people are looking at you, but they just do not seem interested in you at all.
That's a bit rude.
Ryan, what are you doing? You picking yourself up?
I think I'm using Steve to pick myself up.
Yeah, I'm helping Ryan up.
As he's talking to the cute girl?
Absolutely. I haven't noticed, Lauren.
What? You haven't noticed a girl?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, she's Lauren. She's kind of off limits for me. So she's just a person, you know?
That makes sense. She's off limits. So Ryan's vision just like blurs her out.
She's just another one of the many people walking around in this career fair. I think I'm like brushing off the like gloss off my costume.
You hear someone gasp behind you. And then when you turn around, it's like just one of the custodial staff, like looking at the glass and like he doesn't seem to care about you either, but it's just like the window, we gotta fix the window. How did this even happen? And then Steve, you had a very successful roll on your obligations
last time.
Yeah, which I believe means that you get an advantage in the form of one of your obligations.
Indeed.
Yeah. So I think you see pretty close to you, you see your friend Germ, who you're on pretty good terms with right now. And he is there wearing like a volunteer badge. He is volunteering at the career fair. And he kind of like waves you towards this like side room that looks like, you know, kind of a space volunteers have set up that's out of the way of kind of the main going on.
I like nod at Ryan over towards Germ and head on over there.
So he sort of ushers you inside, and it's just like there aren't any other volunteers in here right now. It's just kind of like a, you know, I think they're mostly using this room for storage, but he closes the door behind you and you kind of have a second.
Dude, what the heck is going on here?
He kind of shrugs and is like, I was going to ask you the same thing. I mean, you did crash through the window. Kind of seems like you're the thing going on here.
I mean, but there was just, did you not see tell him, Ryan?
What? Tell him what?
Oh,
we were on the tablecloth and then we got like thrown off it. That's
exactly,
yeah, that's what
exactly. We were on the tablecloth. There was this villain lady. She was going after some stuff. Honestly, I probably should have paid better attention. It was like weird alternate extra dimensional magic, dude. It's wild, man.
Germ looks a little skeptical, and he just kind of like looks you over and slowly, okay, I didn't see any of that. I don't know. Tablecloth? What? Anyway, yeah,
Lilith?
I was actually just about to say that. Yeah, I saw her this morning, and she totally asked about you.
Oh, really?
Dude, you're in!
Yes! I mean, but also, she might be in trouble.
He's kind of like, huh, she looked fine this morning. She saw me and asked if you were coming, and I said I wasn't sure, and then she said, well, she wanted to know if you knew about the Nimbus City Games booth that was going to be here, and she knows you like video games, so she wanted to know if you were going to check that out, and I think she's actually headed that direction. She said she'd get a flyer just in case you weren't here.
Okay, we'll go check that out. Thanks, man. Also, keep an eye out for any weird stuff going on. If you see anything suspicious, anyone who looks like they might be named Joe, either magic or science. I think we've got something going on here.
Victor, too. Somebody named Victor.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks at you. He's like, there are like 10,000 people here. Probably some of them are named Joe. Some of them might even be named Victor.
Yeah, and if you see any of them, come get us.
You want me to get you every time I see someone named Joe?
Okay, dude, but
if he looks like Fabio, okay? If he looks like Fabio, then yes.
We need to get back on the tablecloth.
Wait, do we need to get back on the tablecloth, or do you want to go to the gaming thing to see if we can, like, retrace Lilith's last steps? Because then maybe we can, like, pop out where she is rather than, like, having to battle through the tablecloth monsters to get to her.
Man, Ryan, you are so smart. This is why I bring you along. I mean, also because you're, like, really strong, you know, really brave and really cool and, like, you know.
I don't think I should be the brains. I think that's a bad idea.
Germ has his hand raised.
Yes, yes. Jeremy.
Who's Fabio?
Google it.
Seen, like, yeah, like any really old, like, perfume commercials or, you know what? Never mind.
Long flowing locks.
You
masculine.
See and
long
are like,
flowing locks.
Man, that guy has great hair. Like, godlike hair. That's him. Stay away from him. But also, like, keep an eye on him and also come and find us.
Yeah, he's looking at you skeptically and then looking at his phone and probably Googling Fabio. And then he kind of like glances up from his phone and is like, yeah, yeah, tell you if I see anything weird. And then he kind of like cracks a smile and is like, oh, wait, looking at something pretty weird right now. As he like looks you in the face.
You're hilarious.
He was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. You owe me.
Are you going to be on World of Wizardcraft later tonight?
If I get out of here in time, we'll see how long cleanup takes.
Ugh, big same. I'm going to change real quick, I guess. Cool.
While you've been talking. Ryan's been digging through your duffel bag that's still attached to your body to get out her clothes.
Yeah.
And perhaps as you've been doing this, Ryan, you notice you do have a text from Patrick just asking, like, how the career fair is going and have you found anything yet that seems interesting? There's actually two texts, which makes you think is waiting for you to respond.
I hit him with a thumbs up.
He pretty immediately responds and asks what you found that you thought was interesting. It's like he knows you.
I'm going to pull Steve, have you got your mask off yet?
Yeah.
I pull your face next to mine and take a selfie and send it to him.
Yeah, you get this reply back from Patrick. That's a cute picture of you two. I can't wait to hear about all the fun booths you visited later.
I
whisper to Ryan, like, Nimbus Games, tell him Nimbus Games.
I think Ryan's like pulling on her shirt while she texts. So I feel like she writes something that is like Ningus Gomer and then just sends it without looking at it.
Ningus Gomes.
You do get a text back from Patrick that just says, yeah, I'm going to assume you're talking to a girl or something. With a, I told you there would be girls follow up.
It's like he knows you so well.
I'm gonna hit him with another thumbs up, but that was a mistake. And then like immediately delete the message. So it's like Ryan on sent a message. But Patrick was watching it happen. So he saw the thumbs up. And then I get to take a picture of like the side of Steve's face very close and be like, nah, Steve.
Okay. So you're both getting changed. Anything else you feel the need to do or say here?
My clothes are going over the top of my costume like they were before. That's why you wear a small superhero costume. Fits under all the thing.
I wish I could do that right now. as I'm awkwardly taking off my vest and like stuffing it in my thing. And like, I guess I'll just like leave. Oh no, I gotta like have my, oh man. Yeah, so I pull my hoodie off too and like elbow pads and knee pads and I change shoes. I'm getting like pretty quick at it though.
I feel like while you've been like Ryan finished ages ago and has been like waiting outside and has been just like zooming in on booths and taking photos and then like sending them to Patrick. Just these like blurry photos of like whatever booths are closest.
Yeah, I think you get one back from Patrick that just says, huh, I didn't think you were interested in intellectual property law.
Thumbs up.
You done yet, Steve?
yeah, no, I'm good. I'm like still tugging in my shirt and like my collar's all messed up and stuff. I'm just like, okay, Nimbus Games, let's go. Where the heck is it?
Oh, wait, I have a map. Hold on. I'll pull out my map that Rose wrote on for me.
You were so prepared.
I know.
Yeah, so if you look at your map, you'll see that this part of the convention center has a little bit more techie type companies, careers. Nimbus City Games is actually like pretty close to the center of this like really big floor space. And yeah, they've got kind of like a little bit bigger booth than a lot of the other companies. They kind of are one of the featured booths. They're actually, yeah, pretty easy to find. You headed that direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. And keeping an eye out for Lilith and people with great hair.
And people who just look like they might be named Victor. You're kind of approaching where this booth that you're looking for is. Ryan, you do catch sight of a girl who is not blurred out. You actually do see Rose. She's not at the Nimbus City Games booth, but she is like right next to it at a booth that is dedicated to some like ethical AI research is kind of what it looks like.
Steve, I'm just going to go and ask my friend over there if she's seen Lilith. You go to the booth.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. Yep. Got it. Right. Mission first. And I roll my eyes.
You do, Ryan, as you get a little closer, notice that Rose does already appear to be talking to someone. She is talking to another girl.
Is the other girl hot?
Yes.
Sick. I'll go and stand next to them and wave and say hello.
Yeah. And this other girl maybe looks like just like slightly annoyed that you've interrupted. But Rose will look up at you and smile and say, oh, you disappeared so fast. I assume you found something you wanted to look at.
Oh, yeah. I was actually, I was helping my friend look for my other friend because she was here, but we can't seem to find her.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people here. It's pretty easy to get lost.
Yeah. I mean, she's really tall and she's got like blue hair. So I would have thought we would have been able to spot her, but
Rose kind of looks like she's thinking. She's like, I think I've seen anyone with blue hair. And she looks at the other girl she's been talking to and she's like, this is my friend Zoe. Zoe, have you seen tall girl with blue hair? And Zoe just kind of like shakes her head. No. And then she looks up a second later is like, oh, yeah, I think there actually was someone who looked like that earlier. And then she's, no, wait, her hair was green. Never mind.
Ah, dang. Does Zoe go to school with us? No, she doesn't.
No.
I will introduce myself. I am Ryan. Hello. This is Steve.
Zoe kind of nods. She's not, like, I think trying to look rude, but she does maybe look like someone whose conversation with a hot girl was interrupted.
Good.
Steve is quickly saying that he's not really needed. He's going to go look for Lilith because she is more.
That's what I'm doing, man. I mean, I'm obviously going to watch Steve go. I got to keep looking around as though I'm looking for my friend.
Yeah, so I think Rose says, yeah, I don't think we've seen your friend, but we can keep an eye out for her. What was her name again?
Lilith, actually. And then I am going to rip a bit off my map and write my phone number on it and say, like, if you see her, could you can, like, give me a call and just let me know where she's at, because we're kind of worried about her.
Yeah, Rose will take the number from you. She will also look a little worried, like, oh, something going on?
No, it's just we haven't seen her in a while. You know when you, like, get separated from someone, you haven't seen her in a while, and they're not answering their phone, and you kind of get that little, like, panicky, I know probably nothing is wrong, but, like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's cool that you're so concerned. Hey, if there's anything, like, any booths you want me to pick up flyers from or anything, since it sounds like you're kind of busy with that, I'll totally grab a flyer for you.
Oh, that would be sick, actually.
Yeah. What are you interested in?
I think Ryan is going to point on the map.
Just
at random.
Yeah, Rose kind of squints and is like, oh, accounting.
Yeah, and there's some other stuff over there, I think, as well. And he's going to, like, pull the map away and, like, squint at it and see if there's anything slightly cooler.
Yeah, you know, you pointed directly at, like, the section of the career fair that's got a lot of, like, financial services. Yeah.
Well, yeah, my Uncle Patrick, wants me to do better at maths. And I feel like if I'm going to put in all the effort to get better at maths, maybe I should just do that. You know what I mean?
Rose, she looks a little skeptical. She has a similar expression to Jeremy earlier.
Okay, cool. Thank you for looking out for my friend, and I will see you later to get my accounting flyers. Goodbye.
Yeah, she's good luck finding your friend. She's going to kind of turn back to what she was doing.
Ryan's going to just, like, run over to Steve and then just, like, face plant on his shoulder.
Steve, you have been looking for Lilith. You are maybe a little distracted by, like, this Nimbus City Games booth. It does look pretty cool. They do make a couple games that you really like, including, like, the Vindicators game that you really like.
The Vindicators Experience?
That's the one. That's definitely what's in my notes.
Such a nerd.
Shut up, you. Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to kind of, like, yeah, definitely look around. I mean, I might as well grab a flyer while I'm there.
Yeah, mission first.
My mom will appreciate it.
Anything else you're doing in this area? Are you maybe assessing the situation? It sounds like
I might be. Yeah, I'm mostly looking for my friend. Oh, man. I forgot how many feels Steve is feeling. Because it is all of the feels. All right. So rolling plus superior, which is 1. Oh, my gosh. I got a hit. A 7. So I get to ask 1. What here can I use to find Lilith?
I'm going
to
make this easy on you. You look up and you see a man with wonderful hair, like just kind of a few booths down. You see a man with wonderful hair. You didn't see him earlier. Just Ryan did, right?
Yeah.
So he's there and he is talking to another person who you've never seen, but who readers might recognize as our friend from the opening pages of the comic book.
Mm.
And they're kind of like looking up at the ceiling. They're looking at something.
Ryan. Oh, how'd it go?
Ryan continues to be face planted on your shoulder.
That good, huh?
I'm going to be an accountant.
Wow. That's rough, buddy. On the bright side, I found our friend, I think. Or at least maybe he knows how to get fabulous hair.
At that, Ryan will shake himself out of his ennui and look up and then just run towards Fabio. I mean, Joe.
Steve is going to, like, do a double take and just, oh, okay. And then take off after it. It is on now.
So you approach them. Do you say anything?
Do they see us approaching?
They are kind of, I mean, like, I don't think they totally don't notice. Well, our Joe, I think, doesn't really notice you, but the guy kind of looks like maybe he sees you out of the corner of his eye, but he's, like, mostly focused on whatever he's looking at on, like, kind of up on the ceiling.
I will say, hey.
Yeah, Joe will look at you, and this other guy will look at you, too, and kind of roll his eyes.
I'm not looking at the other guy. I'm focused on Joe. We went on the tablecloth, got freaking beat up. What the heck, man?
The guy who you're maybe not paying attention, but he is paying attention to you, says, we noticed.
What do you mean we know? What? Who are you?
He kind of, like, pushes his glasses up on his nose and says, who do you think helped take care of that gummy worm?
The electric kid?
And the guy's going to kind of, like, turn to Steve and say, oh, did you pull the fire alarm and set off the sprinklers?
No, but I did take out the worm.
And the window. Good job.
It's
force of habit. So anyway, how do we get back on the tablecloth?
No, no, no. How do we find Lilith when we're on the tablecloth? We got the damn mints. We can get back on the tablecloth. Too. How do we, where is she in the tablecloth so we can just pop in and, you know, get her?
The other guy that your other guy, who is not Joe, kind of shakes his head and is like, I would have gotten someone better if I could have.
Well, I know you do it. You're so good.
And he rolls his eyes and is like, I was there. Took care of the worm for you, remember? And then he kind of like nods back up at the ceiling and there's like a skylight up there and he's like, if you look real close, it's cracked.
Ryan will look up.
Yeah, and it is hard to see, but it does look like the skylight is kind of cracked a little bit.
Does that mean anything to you, Steve?
I think it means we're going on the rooftop.
And this guy just like squints at you and is like, you don't need to go on the roof. It just means she was in the area, probably. And then Joe kind of chimes in and is like, yeah, we can't know for sure she was here. You know, boundary between this world and semi-world get a little weird sometimes, but it's a clue. We think she might have been around here and probably close. Assuming she's still alive.
Can I grab Joe by the collar?
You can. He doesn't look that alarmed, but you can grab him by the collar.
Well, if you're not going to be helpful, if you're just going to, like, bring us down and make us feel hopeless, then, like, fuck off.
You know when she was last here? Like, in this world here? Like, in full world, not semi-world.
He kind of glances down at Steve. Lost track of her a couple hours ago.
Does he have a phone or anything that he's quote unquote tracking her on?
No, not at the moment. He does have a phone, but he and Victor.
It's not like holding it.
No, he and Victor have just been kind of like looking for clues, kind of same. I mean, you're maybe getting the impression that they don't like have her exactly pinpointed either. They also maybe are kind of looking for her.
I don't like the tracking. I don't like that he said lost track of her. Why were you tracking her in the first place?
The two kind of share. Like, exchange a look, and then Joe kind of tilts his head to the side and says, well, she is a very special girl.
Nah, that's it. I'm done with these guys. I'm gonna take the tablecloth and, like, wrap it around their freaking heads.
Yeah, what does that look like?
I think I just say that and then shove Joe when I let go of his collar and start walking away.
Yeah, I think there are only like 5 or 6 creepier ways you could have possibly said that. So forgive us if we're going to stay as far away as possible. Well, good luck staring at the ceiling. We're going to go actually do something. And I'm going to kind of step away and turn to Ryan.
Has gone to the edge of the, like, to a wall. Basically, Ryan needed to go to a wall.
He will follow.
I think you kind of hear this other guy call after you and say, I am worried about her too. I'm also trying to find her.
I will flip him off. He's gonna and then go punch a wall.
Yeah, you can punch a wall if you like. I think he does kind of run to catch up with you, presumably sees you punch a wall, and just says, look, I don't know exactly where she is either. I'm trying to find her.
For what though? What are you trying to find her for? Because you were tracking her before she got taken. So this is what I'm worried about. I'm going to go find Lilith, save Lilith from whatever fucked up tablecloth situation she's in. And then we're going to come back here and save her from you guys.
He kind of stares at you and just, I was keeping tabs on her because I knew something like this might happen.
Usually when someone says that, it's because they did it. What the hell, man?
He looks like very exhausted with you and just kind of like raises his hands and like, I'm not going to hurt Lilith. I'm probably not
going
to
just going to what
I just want her to be safe.
Who are you again?
He kind of like looks you up and down and says, Victor.
I'm going to eat a mint.
Okay. You are back on the tablecloth. Steve, are you joining Ryan on the tablecloth?
Yeah, I'm going to give Victor a mean look and then pop a mint and pull on my mask.
Yeah. So you are back on the tablecloth. So very suddenly you are in the candy world again of the tablecloth. And this room is a little bit like the first. It's got kind of this obviously very candy theme, the cotton candy clouds and lollipop trees and, you know, some similar things. One of the big features is that there's kind of this winding river of molasses that runs through this big, because it's kind of structured like the big conference center room you're in. So it's a really big space that you're in, but there's this giant kind of river of what looks like molasses running through it.
I think when Steve pops in, he finds Ryan trying to rip up a lollipop tree. I don't know if that's possible. If it's not possible, she's trying. If it is possible, she's picked it up and she's smashing it around.
Well, let's find out. I will have you roll to... I'm going to call that unleashing your powers. It sounds like you're trying to reshape your environment.
Yeah, that seems fair. Okay, get my dice out of bags. Would you say this is unleashing my powers to barrel through an insurmountable barrier?
I don't know that it's insurmountable. It's candy.
It's a 4 plus 2 is 6, minus 2 is 4.
So I think what happens is you do not necessarily pull this up, but you kind of snap the stem and the lollipop like breaks really suddenly and like hits you in the back and is kind of stuck to you now. And then just to add perhaps insult to injury, you hear this voice from behind you that just says, "This is why I wanted someone competent like Moonflower." And you realize that this guy, Victor, has followed you onto the tablecloth, apparently had his own mints.
So Ryan stops flailing their arms around, trying to get the lollipop off their back, and just like spins and starts like charging towards Victor.
Are you directly engaging a threat? Or what are you doing?
I would enjoy punching him, yes.
I'm going to let you roll to directly engage a threat.
That's a 3 plus a 1, which is 4, plus 1 danger is 5. I love mocking potential.
Maybe you're getting your bad rolls out of the way before we unleash the horrors. Yeah, so
it's not the horror.
I think
the sound of that.
I think that Victor just kind of like, He's a little more nimble than he looks like. Like, he does look pretty nondescript, but he pretty smoothly just, like, rolls out of the way of you charging at him and kind of trips you while he's at it. I think the grass here is kind of like the frosting grass that was in the other room. And so you kind of, like, fall into this, like, frosting smear all over you. And he just kind of steps aside. And you see he, like, hasn't fully pulled a weapon yet, but he does seem to have his hand on like some sort of gun that, yeah, he hypothetically could pull if you decide to try and charge him again.
I'm gonna shuck off my blazer because that's, I'm assuming, what the lollipop is stuck to, and just glare at him.
Steve, what are you doing?
I'm watching Victor with the scowl on my face underneath my mask, waiting for to see if he does anything. If he makes a move for that weapon, I'm gonna, yeah, he's going to regret it.
Yeah, he's going to kind of glance between you and just say, "I just want to find Lilith. She doesn't want to talk to me. I'm not going to try and talk to her. Just want to make sure she's okay."
Ryan will spit out some frosting grass that got in her mouth.
He's going to look at Steve. I think he's kind of assessed Ryan's feelings on the subject.
Yeah, well, what if Lilith doesn't want to be found by you?
I think he kind of looks down and says, "I'm sure she doesn't, but I'll take her alive and pissed over not alive."
Well, doesn't seem like we can get rid of you.
He, like, has just, like, a little tiny smirk at that. Like, just, like, a very smug, like, no, you can't.
I'm gonna look at Ryan, see what she thinks.
Ryan has chosen, if I can't beat him, act like he doesn't exist. So she is going to walk over to Steve and start, like, putting her civilian clothes, sticky mess of civilian clothes, into the duffel bag.
I guess Steve's gonna look around. Doesn't seem like there's going to be a fight immediately.
Yeah, are you perhaps assessing the situation?
I guess I'm assessing the situation again. Yeah. Looking over the sticky grassy hills and the sticky river. Ooh, that is less of a success. That is a 5.
You see a lot of candy. There's sure a lot of candy in this room. You do see Victor also seems to be assessing the situation, and he's kind of looking at the ground as he walks forward a little bit, and he does pick up something and is kind of examining it.
What you got there? You find your favorite flavor?
He's going to kind of ignore that and just hold up this piece of, it looks like kind of a sharp corner of peanut brittle that has a bit of blood on it.
That's not ominous.
And he's going to kind of keep walking forward, and looks like maybe he's like found like a little bit of blood splatter or something that he's kind of following to where, like, kind of to the edge of this molasses river.
Ryan, I don't like him.
Ryan shrugs and is like, "Who? Don't like who? I don't see a soul."
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I guess I'm going to follow him from a distance.
Yeah, so he kind of comes to the edge of this molasses river and is still kind of scanning the area. Like, he definitely looks like he's picking up a trail that he's following, and kind of glances to the other side of the molasses river, and there's some kind of gumdrops that seem like stepping stones that go across this molasses river at various points, and he kind of starts jumping across them to get to the other side.
I'm going to charge my burn. That's one thing I can do really well right now. 2d6 plus 5. Oh, that's a full hit. That is a 12. Sweet. So I get 3 burn. Yeah. So Steve, he's still got like his collared shirt on, his little tie, but he's got his mask pulled on over the top of it. And he's just kind of like reaching out and feeling all the like static electricity that's been building up on all of the wavy cotton candy grass as it's been blowing in the breeze. And like the cotton candy clouds overhead start to kind of darken as there's like a thunder rumbles over the cotton candy prairie in the room. And he starts just like all this electricity starts arcing from the cotton candy up to his fingertips.
Nice. Brian, what are you doing?
I'm following Steve. And then when Steve's finished charging his burn, I give him like a nudge on the shoulder. And I'm like, that was a good one, man.
Steve just kind of pulls his shoulder away. He's just like, let's go. And then just leaps over the entire molasses river and just like with like a clap of thunder behind him, kind of like help propel him across.
I'll use the stepping stones.
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of cute. Cool. So you get to the other side of the river. And like I said, Victor does kind of seem to be following a trail that if you look closely, you can kind of see like there are like some drops of blood here and there. There's, if you look really closely, some pieces of shattered glass here and there. And he's kind of following this along the edge of the river until he reaches a point where the river kind of opens up into more of like a molasses lake that he kind of pauses at the edge of and seems like maybe he's looking towards just on the other side of this molasses lake. There's like a little candy staircase made out of like hard candies that he's looking at. But he has kind of paused and he's like looking at the staircase and then he's looking at the molasses lake. Like he suspects something might be afoot and he still has his hand on his gun and he kind of glances back at the two of you and says, up the stairs. I think that's where she is.
Any idea what took her up the stairs?
I thought Joe told you that.
Right.
And he does kind of nod and say, yeah, Joe isn't always the clearest instruction giver. She was taken by a magical entity called Sugar Spinner. Lilith's powers come from a piece of magical glass that is embedded in her heart. This Sugar Spinner wants that piece of glass. That's where she is.
And how do you know so much about Lilith's heart?
He just kind of shrugs and says, I make it my business to know things.
And it's like an oddly specific thing to know those, like, you know, intimate details of someone's heart. Like, you know, if there's anything lodged in my heart, did you take the time to know that?
Is there anything lodged in your heart?
I don't know. Maybe there's a lightning bolt giving me electricity, I guess.
Yeah, maybe there is. I don't care that much about your heart.
I mean, clearly. So what? You helped make Lilith?
He looks at you like you're stupid. And just like, Lilith has had her powers since she was a baby. And I was also a baby at that time. So no, I don't have anything to do with Lilith's powers. And he kind of like cocks his head and is like, she hasn't told you much, has she?
I guess not. So what are your powers then?
He kind of frowns and is like, not relevant.
Well, hope it stays that way.
Ryan, what are you doing? Still ignoring
Ryan's brambles have been slowly crawling down her arm and forming a very spiky fist over her fist as she clenches it. This started when he insulted Steve's heart.
Oh, that was rude of him.
Steve didn't even notice.
The insult or the fist?
Yes.
And I think she's going to walk past Victor up to like to get on the stairs. And as she does, she like mutters.
So the stairs are like on the other side of the molasses lake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think she's going to walk to the lake and then send her brambles out to start making a bridge. And as she starts like walking on the bridge, she says, she like mutters, at least we wait for her to tell us things instead of just taking them without her permission.
We get a panel of Victor just not looking like he really cares that you just said that. And then in the next panel, so you've stepped onto this bramble bridge that you're starting to form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you step onto this bramble bridge, we see a hand reaching out of the molasses and grabbing your ankle.
Steve blasts the hand with electricity.
Well, it's grabbing Ryan's ankle.
Yes.
Would you say you're defending Ryan or directly engaging a threat?
I am defending. I guess it doesn't matter because I have every single condition marked. I think I am like instinctively protecting Ryan, but it is by destroying the thing with fire. Is my instinct.
I'm going to call this a defend rule. I mean, cool. It's Ryan.
Yeah.
It's a you're going to look out for your Ryan.
Yes. They are my Ryan. I have minus one savior right now, which is cool. Oh my God, I rolled an 11. Minus three is still an 8. Heck yeah.
You do have plus one because I assume Ryan you influence.
Oh yeah, I totally do.
So that's a 9. I don't know that for sure, but I was assuming.
Oh, I totally do.
Can you imagine if Steve and Ryan didn't have influence over each other? Like, yeah, no, what are you
just a given. Doing? Ryan always has influence over Steve.
Yes. Okay, so when you defend someone or something from an immediate threat, roll plus savior. Yeah, so on NPC threats, on a hit, you keep them safe and you choose one. So you can choose to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Oh, let's clear a condition.
Yeah, that sounds like the thing to do, perhaps.
Clear hopeless. Then because it was a 7 and 9, I need to expose myself to danger or escalate the situation. I guess we'll escalate the situation.
Excellent. Yeah, so you see you hit this hand with lightning and it like immediately draws back. And fortunately this being is not made out of anything conductive, so Ryan is safe from your lightning. I mean, they maybe feel like a little tingly, but not like they're not getting zapped. But you see this hand just like yank back into the molasses, and then a second later, this creature just like bursts out of the molasses, and you see several other creatures burst out of the molasses. And as you look a little more closely at specifically the one that had grabbed Ryan, it looks a whole lot like, I'm just going to describe this as a gummy zombie. So it's does appear to be made out of gummy candy, but like not like cute gummy candy. Like it looks a little too much like skin. It looks just like really off-putting and creepy. You notice that in fact, it vaguely looks like you, right? So it's got kind of this blue, it's not a shirt, but like, you know, if they were to make a really creepy EK candy gummy person, this is what it would look like. And it's got like your lightning logo on it. And yeah, so this is the thing that just kind of bursts out of the molasses and is looking pretty angry now. And it looks at you because you just shot it with lightning and opens its mouth and screams at you. And you can see that it has like these super sharp teeth that kind of look like when you like sharpen the end of a candy cane really, really pointy.
Oh no.
These things really are horror. You were not kidding.
Still not quite as horrifying as Victor.
Not as horrifying as what?
Victor.
The real horrors are always the boys in our lives. That's the real lesson here. But yeah, the gummy things are pretty creepy. I am going to pause before we react too much and say that we are going into battle against a dangerous foe as a team. Let's maybe get some team in the pool.
You think we're going to need it?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, add 2 team to the pool. And we started with 1, so we're at 3 team. Who is the leader here?
Steve.
Okay. Steve, you do have influence over every teammate. So
I sure do.
What is your purpose in this fight?
In this fight in particular? To send this abomination back to whatever delicious abyss it crawled from.
Ryan?
Mine was gonna be to get to the across the lake, but
I'm feeling nice and since there are 2 of you. I think you ultimately have the same purpose, which is like get rid of these things so you can get to Lilith.
Yeah.
Nice GM. So is that 5? Am I counting right? Yeah. I'm literally holding up my fingers and like, am I counting right?
I always have to like literally write down like tally marks on my notes.
Yeah,
I do that too.
Cross them off.
Pro tip for next time. Does any team member mistrust the leader of the team? Or
I do. No.
Victor does not count as part of the team. No, he's an NPC.
Okay.
And you didn't invite him, so he's not part of the team. So we won't count him for this. Is your team ill prepared or off balance?
Yeah,
I feel like that one might be valid.
Yeah.
It just got grabbed.
It sounds fair.
Yeah, okay. Steve, are you marking a condition to avoid removing that team, or
I think we're just off balance.
Oh, that makes sense. Cool. So we are going in with 4 team. Okay. I will now let you react to Gummy Zombie Steve.
Are they like, is it like on the bridge with me?
It is like climbing up onto the bridge with you. Yeah. Is your bridge going like all the way across the lake?
That was the aim, but it depends how big the lake is.
It's big enough that it's small enough that your brambles can get across it, certainly. I just think you see, like, other of these creatures that have popped out of the molasses lake are also climbing to the bridge or just climbing to shore, like, they're coming for you. And they're not all gummy EKs, just for the record, but...
You're, like, shooting brambles out, you said?
I've just made a bramble bridge, that's all. But I did that before.
Steve's gonna kind of, like, step in front of you and, like, just kind of look at you over his shoulder. He just say, stick close. And just like a little like crack of lightning like shoots out of the glowing eye of his mask. And Steve is then going to overcharge and unleash the full capacity of his incredible power. The like kind of thunder darkening candy clouds in the sky start to like roll in, and I'm gonna summon down like a giant like lightning storm basically on either side of this bridge, and just like have a wall of lightning on like both sides of the bridge running down the lake to separate the gummy zombies from us.
Okay,
that's sick, dude.
Yeah. So I spend 2 burn and I get a 10 plus to unleash my powers.
Yeah, so this works. And there, so you're forming like a lightning wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not like directly attacking any of them. You're just like kind of keeping them off the bridge.
Yeah, just like continual lightning strikes in a line. So like not directly attacking them, but if they step in it, they will get hurt. They're welcome to find out.
Yeah, so this does disorient them for a while. Like, I think one of them maybe tries to reach a hand in and immediately gets zapped and yanks their hand back. And so you do buy yourself some time. You do see them start kind of making their way to the other shore, most of them, so that they are kind of waiting for you on the other side of the bridge, but they're not trying to get on the bridge. One of them, after a minute, kind of starts shooting. If you look closely, this one looks suspiciously like a gummy version of the Righteous Flame, and he starts shooting these like cinnamon candies that are on fire in your direction. So I think the lightning takes most of them out, but they are flaming gummy candies, and some of them might be popping through onto the bridge.
All right, let's move, people.
It's literally just us, man.
I'd say mostly to what's his face,
Victor. He did manage to jump onto the bridge before you did the lightning wall, so he is there.
The bridge is also like folding up behind us, so if he's not quick enough, he's just gonna lose the bridge.
He is pretty nervous. He's keeping pace with you.
Damn, I've got to do something to fix this cinnamon flame situation.
It'd be a bummer if the brambles caught on fire.
The gummy righteous flame isn't on the bridge, right? They're on the shore.
No, yeah, all of them have kind of started moving towards the shore, so they're kind of still between you and the staircase that you want to take. But they're not on the bridge. They're keeping clear of the bridge.
I think what I'll do is I will step in front of Steve and make my brambles into kind of like, I guess, like a shield on my arm. Because they're already sort of like trailing down my arm to get to like where they are to make the bridge. So I think I'll just like plump them up on my arm and try to like use my agility to like hit them, like the flaming things away as if they're like a ball and I'm swinging at him.
Yeah. Are you defending Steve? Are you unleashing your powers? Which do you think?
I think I'm defending Steve. He's handling all the other things. And like if he goes down, you know, we lose all of our cover. So 3 + 4 = 7. +3 = 10.
All right. So on ten, you keep them safe and you get to choose one. So add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
I think I'm going to use my there when it matters move. So when I defend someone on a hit, I can hold one instead of choosing one from the list. And I can spend my hold when they are in danger later to arrive on the scene ready to help.
Cool. surely Steve will not be in danger.
Never.
Later today.
Wait, are there any windows nearby?
Steve's not in danger. The window's in danger. You are successfully deflecting the cinnamon candy flaming projectiles that are being thrown at you. And you are pretty safe on the bridge, but there are gummy monsters waiting for you on the other side, which is presumably where you're trying to get to.
What hurts gummy monsters?
Are you assessing the situation?
I was asking Steve.
Okay.
Teeth.
What'd you say, teeth?
Yep.
If only we had a teeth man. I might just rush him.
Okay.
Unless Steve wants to do something else before I do.
I'm all open for ideas.
Oh, actually, I have a better idea.
I wonder what this idea is.
Is it time?
No, it's not time. You're otherwise engaged. You're making lightning things. I'm going to make Victor my rival.
That checks.
So he gets influence over me. Boo. Do you think he would be susceptible to my words? I want to provoke him.
I'll allow it because I want to see it. He's pretty cool and collected, but he's kind of having a day. So I'm going to give you that one, mostly because I want to see what happens.
Sick. I have the role enabler for the bull's heart. So when I provoke my love or rival, I roll plus danger if I'm trying to provoke them to rash or poorly thought out action. So I feel like Steve's like lighting up the place. I am like hitting away the like flaming cinnamon things. Mm-hmm. And I just like turn around and I'm like, Victor, go! Rush him! Get him! Help! If you're going to be here, you might as well help. And I think like to make it extra like, because obviously he's very cool and probably wouldn't listen to Ryan, I think that the bridge underneath him is also like pushing him forwards. That's a 2 plus a 6 plus 1 danger is a 7, 8, 9.
Well, and do you plus take plus 1 because one?
Because I ongoing to it. Take one plus one ongoing to any action that impresses your love or frustrates your rival. I feel like this will frustrate him.
Yeah, most things do.
And that's 10.
Yeah, so they rise to the bait and do what you want. So I think we kind of get a panel of him narrowing his eyes at you. And then he pretty slickly pulls this gun that he's kind of had his hand on the whole time. You can see that this doesn't appear to be like a normal gun. It does look pretty high tech and sleek. And it appears to be more of like a energy blaster than like a, like it doesn't have like a bullet chamber or anything. But yeah, so you see these little like blue pulses of energy or something, well, tech that he got from somewhere, as he fires this gun. And he just kind of starts shooting at the gummy creatures on the other side and pretty deftly manages to like shoot one that looks suspiciously like him, like directly in the head, and it just like falls down. That is how he's helping. He has taken out the one who looks like him, and is aiming at one that looks sort of like a candy southpaw with a bat that looks suspiciously like it's made out of the novelty pickle flavored hard candy that is sold some places in New Olympus.
No.
So he's aiming for that one next.
How far are we across the bridge? Are we almost across?
Have you been walking? I thought you were just standing on the bridge.
We were walking, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. You're like basically on the other side now.
Yeah, Steve's going to run the last kind of few steps across the bridge and then summon all the lightning he's been using in his lightning wall and like pull it like back into his arms and then blast gummy righteous flame with it.
Yeah. I'm going to call that directly engaging a threat.
Yeah. Let's do it. Boom. It's a 9.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you pick one.
Okay. Let's resist or avoid his blows.
Smart.
He's learning.
Yeah. So I think that you do actually like this lightning kind of doesn't completely take him down, but does neutralize him quite a bit. Like it kind of melts, like it melts his arms off. And then he's just like, the rest of him is like still also kind of melting. He's not doing a lot to you right now.
Gross. All right. I'm going to make a break for the stairs then. Start booking it.
These things are pretty quick. So you see a gummy briar jump in your way. Gummy briar has these licorice vines that are thrashing about and trying to grab you. We can jump to briar for a second if you want to think.
Ungummy briar.
Yeah, so just to kind of give you the lay of the land here, now that you're on the other side and can kind of see the remaining gummy creatures more clearly. So Steve is now kind of facing off against gummy briar. There is also on the shore a gummy Gustav who looks like he is made out of just like solid hard rock candy. Gummy EK is also over there. Let's see. We've kind of dealt with gummy Midas and gummy Southpaw and gummy Victor. So we're making some progress. There's a gummy Agatha, it looks like, and there's a gummy Moonflower, but she has kind of gone for Victor and they're kind of grappling and preoccupied with each other. So yeah, so Steve's kind of facing off against gummy Briar, which I think leaves in the area perhaps paying attention to Ryan, gummy Gustav, gummy EK, and gummy Agatha.
Okay, it might be time. Okay, so on my last level up, I took the joined bond fastball special and have like chosen as my like joined Steve / the electric kid. The move is when you perform a coordinated fighting maneuver with your other half, say who takes the lead and who assists. The leader rolls the adult move, overwhelm a vulnerable foe. The assistant marks a condition. My idea is I shoot some brambles out and then am like standing in the middle of all of the gummies and like spin around with Steve punching them as we spin.
Yes.
I love it.
Does that sound good?
It sounds yes. Great. And I'm interested to see how it goes, but it sounds great.
I would like Steve to take the lead.
Okay.
And I will be the assistant.
Oh my God.
And I will mark the condition afraid.
Cool.
Because I am afraid of the gummies.
Dude, the adult moves are so cool. When you overwhelm a vulnerable foe, roll plus danger. On a hit, the fight is over. They're done. On a 10 plus, choose 1. On a 7 to 9, choose 2. Take a powerful blow. You hurt the foe more than you intended. You cause serious collateral damage. Okay. Roll in plus danger. Let's go. Okay, cool. So this is 2d6 plus. My danger is 3. So that's a 10. Boom.
Choose 1 from the options.
We hurt the gummies more than we intended.
I mean, you intended to obliterate them. I don't know what more hurt there is.
Do we hurt the environment more than we intended it? Is the shoreline and the stairs, are they becoming unstable because of the sheer force of our powers?
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess causing serious collateral damage might make more sense.
So why don't you give me just like the description of how awesome this looks?
So while Briar is spinning EK around, he's like, I mean, obviously blasting shit with lightning, but he's also creating like a vortex of negatively charged energy or negatively charged air. And it's starting to like swirl and create a vortex. And Brian and EK have basically created like a giant lightning tornado of awesome that just like, yeah, like gummies like take a step towards them and get like caught up in the tornado and it just like rips apart their little gummy flesh into bits.
So we just see bits of gummy flying everywhere. You might have some gummy on you now. You definitely have some gummy. Yeah, and you kind of finish this maneuver and you just see the gummy carnage. These things are done. And the only one that like wasn't like in the immediate vicinity of your attack was the gummy Moonflower, who was attacking Victor with her peanut brittle knives. And we kind of get a panel where in the midst of this carnage, we see she is on top of Victor and he does manage to get a hand on his gun and shoot her as well, and kind of stands up quickly and brushes himself off, and he is blushing a little bit, readers may note, but he kind of looks around at the carnage. And then I think perhaps as you're doing a celebratory high five, he runs forward and kind of grabs the collar of your hoodie and starts yanking you towards the stairs. And you see that all the world kind of seems to be breaking a bit. Like, you just hear like this hard candy cracking and this little corner of the semi-world is falling apart. So do you notice, do you let him like kind of pull you towards the stairs?
Oh yeah, we're going.
So I think you are kind of midway. So it's like one of the staircases that you go up and then you're on a landing and then it goes the rest of the way up the stairs. You are almost to the top of the stairs and you can see at the top of the stairs that there certainly is like this, it's all been candy, but like this kind of seems like there's even more candy than there has been in the rest of the world. And you can kind of hear voices. One of them sounds like it might be Lilith's. And you catch like just a glimpse of this at the top of the stairs. And then as things kind of crumble, you find yourself back off the tablecloth. You are back in the real world and just in kind of this empty stairwell of the convention center.
But no, we were so close.
It's now just leading up to like some of the like admin rooms at the top that aren't really in use right now. Like you're not in the career fair exactly, but yeah. So you kind of caught a glimpse of what was going on, and now you're just back in the conference center looking at these empty, like, admin rooms at the top of this staircase.
Steve rips his mask off and, like, slams a fist into the ground in frustration.
Is Victor with us still?
Yeah, he's still with you.
Ryan glares because Ryan is assuming it's Victor's fault that they're off the tablecloth.
He is not paying a lot of attention to you. He's kind of also looking distractedly at the top of the stairs. He also seems kind of disappointed that you were really close.
How does getting thrown off the tablecloth work? Like, what made us come off the tablecloth that time?
That you broke the world. In the super world building rules that I made, because I'm so good at making world building rules, since the semi-world is kind of like, you know, partially, sort of, kind of, a little bit in our world, you sort of disrupted, like, the minimal barrier between the two when you started breaking shit.
Semiworld.exe has encountered a critical error and needed to close.
In technical
does that mean terms, that yes. Do you think Lilith got thrown off the tablecloth as well, or do you think they're still there?
No.
Steve is just like, damn it, we were so close!
Yeah, I think you see Victor kind of cleaning the gummy bits off of his gun, and he's mostly focused on that and says, we can go back. Don't think the whole semi-world is broken, but Sugar Spinner is right there, and we might want a plan to deal with her.
If you wanted plans, you really should have gotten someone else. And then Ryan's going to take out the mint.
Yeah, so I think we just end on this panel of Ryan raising the mint to his lips.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brendan Conway. Graviton, Gustav, and Penny Dreadful are played by Sawyer A. Kalea is played by Des Cobbs. Shrike and the Electric Kid are played by Michael Dunham. Moonflower and Shatter are played by Kyra Nelson. And Mighty Briar is played by Kaylee Newberry. The music for this episode is by P. Richmond. This season is produced by Kyra Nelson. You can find us on Twitter and Blue Sky with the handle WWC Comics Podcast.